So it is good to be back with Way of Life. I appreciate this group of people so much for the way that you have come in to this neighborhood, and just your commitment to prayer and your commitment to love this school. And Chris and I, we get to play ping pong together. We also usually get to pray together about once a week. There is a South Salem pastor's prayer group, and he and Paul often are able to make it to that. And I noticed that Chris is having me speak pretty often to the group, but every time he's here, you know, keeping tabs on me. So this is really a first, that he would let me share and be gone. But normally he just says, oh, just preach on anything you want, because then I think he can do damage control later. But this time he said, we're in a series in Romans, and I'd like you to continue that. And so if this isn't your first time at Way of Life, I would imagine you're tracking along, looking at what Romans has to share with us about the good news of Jesus. And so we're going to be in Romans chapter 3 today. And I just totally geeked out on this assignment. I have a master's degree from George Fox, and I was actually a Greek tutor. And so I was just diving in to the Greek this week, and I didn't find that many, you know, Greek nuggets to share with you, so don't get worried. But I did see that right where Chris has let me join this conversation in Romans, basically Romans 1 through 321, it is trying to convince you that you are a dark and lost sinner. So, I hope Chris has convinced you of that in the past few weeks, that there is this darkness in humanity, and humanity is desperately in need of a Savior. And good news for me is this passage, 321 and on, it's kind of like the sun is rising. Paul has been just pouring it on, trying to convince people that they need Jesus, and now, finally, he's going to start talking about salvation. He's going to start talking about faith in Christ. And so maybe Chris just knew me well, that I don't like talking about sin that much, and I love talking about Jesus, and so he left me in a good spot. Not to say that I don't get my sinfulness. So the big idea for us today, as I was looking at this passage that I want us to enter into, as we look at sin and our need for a Savior, do we find ourselves people who are constantly measuring ourselves as good enough? And in a way, this measuring stick, I believe Paul would call kind of measuring ourselves by the law. And what he's going to introduce to us today is a transition from being measured by the law to living a life marked by faith. Faith in Jesus. So, as we think about why would we measure ourselves by our sinfulness, why would we measure ourselves by the law, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I just am reminded often that I am a sinful person. And this started, like, early for me. I don't know if it's a struggle for you to realize that you're sinful, but it's never really been a struggle for me. I thought of like so many stories I could tell, it's pathetic. But when I was 9 years old, I had a sister who was 6, and we're out in the front yard, and there's this walnut tree, and it was my aunt's house, and she lived right by this highway, and there were cars going by, and I thought, man, it'd be fun to see if we could hit one of those cars. So, I mean, we're small, 6 and 9, and so we're missing all the time. And finally, like, we just hit one. And I hear the brakes going on. And then I look, and it was a police officer. And I decide, like, I am going to run for it. And I run and hide in the barn. And I'm, like, looking out the window, and the police officer is talking to my 6-year-old sister, who... obviously, she had the advantage of just crying hysterically. And so he, like, walked her up to my aunt's house. And, I mean, you don't get in that much trouble as a 6-year-old. So I'm just hiding out in the barn. And, but I knew that that was wrong, right? That that was sinful. And so I don't know if this is going to identify with your story, but as I was hearing about there is forgiveness in Jesus, I knew that, like, I was sinning all the time. And so I would lay in my bed, this is not a lie, from, like, at least 9 to 12 years old, I would lay in my bed at night and I would confess my sins because I was scared that I was going to hell. Like, I had things, like, just, I was doing it wrong, doing life wrong, and I grew up in a Christian family, and so I was aware of the law. And so, in a way, I was growing up just constantly measuring myself, and I don't know if you feel this way, I was finding myself highly lacking. I was finding myself missing the mark all the time, and it was not good. I mean, a lot of times it would turn into sobbing, like, is this really gonna work? I'm pretty sinful. So there's good news for us this morning that there is another way to live our life of faith than just constantly measuring ourselves. So feel free, if there's Bibles and chairs, it's going to also be up on the screen. I'm going to read verse 21 through 24. And as I read these passages this week, I realized this is a section of Scripture that is so foundational to our understanding of salvation. And it is, you're going to hear verses in here that you probably, if you went to Sunday school, you memorized some of these verses. And so I'm going to let you just kind of sit with them for a second. So I've broken this passage, the rest of chapter 3, into kind of 3 parts. And after this first section, I'm going to give you internal processors. I'm going to give you like a minute to just let the words of Scripture mull over in your mind and be up here on the screen, and then we'll do some talking about it. Let me pray first, as I just recognize the Spirit of God inspired these words in Paul, and we definitely need Him to inspire them in us as well. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your work with humanity. Thank You that You love us so much that You provided a way for our salvation, provided a rescue plan, provided Yourself with flesh on in Jesus. Thank You, thank You. Thank You that You've given us Your word to guide us and direct us. We thank You that You called Paul out, that You inspired these words. Thank You that You've protected them over time. Thank You that You give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us hear with right thinking. And You also use Your Spirit to impress things on our hearts So I pray and ask that you would do that today in each one of us. So we just dedicate the reading and hearing of your word to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Again, I want to give you just a minute to look over that and see what kind of stands out to you today. So again, I trust God's word and his spirit are an even better teacher than I could ever be. And so I just recognize that he's at work in each one of us who confess and believe. So there's a lot going on in this passage that the salvation has come and it's been foretold in the law and the prophets. And it's kind of this big stage in this moment. And the righteousness that we now can possess doesn't come through obedience to the law. That we can't find our righteousness on any scale, but it only comes through trusting and faith in Jesus. And what really stood out to me this week is at the end of verse 22, that this means that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. So how do we get to this place that Paul is saying faith can take us, where we don't see these huge differences between Baptist and Presbyterian, between Jew and Catholic? How do we get to a place where we see people who need relationship with Jesus? Because I don't currently have eyes that see like that. I carry around my measuring stick because, again, as much as I'm in formation of being justified only by faith in Christ, I'll be honest, some of that 9 to 12 year old activity of measuring myself every day, I'm still doing that. I'm still measuring myself as, am I good enough all the time? And then it gets really ugly because I'm measuring other people and other groups as who is kind of good and who's right here and who's almost, you know, great. So let me tell you about a person who grew up in this kind of judgmental environment. His name was John, and he grew up with a pastor for a father, and he had a lot of siblings, and this guy became the most religious young man that you can imagine. When he was in high school, in college, he actually like started a club called the Holiness Club. And they would hold themselves accountable to everything you could imagine. And they were trying to be as good as possible. And this young man, he felt like, you know, people need to hear the gospel and they need to be taught and preached to. And so he lived in England and he took a missionary trip. He took a 3-year missionary assignment. So he even bested those Mormons by a year. And he went over to Georgia at the time, and his mission was to share the gospel with Native Americans. And so he was supposed to be over there for 3 years, but after 3 months, he was just so discouraged that no one wanted to hear the good news from him. No one was being converted. And he went back to England feeling like a complete failure and feeling like a failure himself. And he was taking a walk one night, and he was walking by this Lutheran church, and he heard the singing, and so he stepped in the back, and at this Lutheran church, they were studying Romans, kind of like we are today. And so they read this introduction to the book of Romans from Martin Luther, and it was just talking over and over again about salvation that only comes through faith. And it was like this overwhelming rush of the Holy Spirit hit John. And he heard the Holy Spirit say, "I love you. You are my son." And in that moment, after growing up in a pastor's home, after starting a holiness club, after going on a missionary trip, he realized for the first time in his life, he testifies, that he was truly saved by the grace of God. That the only way he could feel right with God is by putting his faith in Jesus. All that effort of measuring himself was only making him more and more frustrated with his life. All that effort of measuring himself wasn't making him an effective Christian. From that point on, John went on this tear in his life of, he began preaching up to 5 times a day, but it was to people out in fields and out at factories. He left his pastoral pulpit, and he just went to people and started talking to them about putting their faith in Jesus. And John Wesley, among others, became credited for what is known as the Great Awakening. And what I see there in the journey that I'm trying to take us on today is that many of us unintentionally continue to judge ourselves by the law. And we think that we're doing what God wants in looking hard at ourselves. And sometimes we think we're doing what God wants in looking hard at others. But I'm going to tell you 2 more stories by the time we're done of when people stopped judging themselves by the law and started living by faith, radical things started happening. Their life was just opened up because of the freedom they felt for me, this same journey kind of happened. I talked about 9 to 12 years old. It was probably at its worst in terms of just feeling under the law. And really, we can adopt the sacrifice of Jesus as almost just another lamb sacrifice that has to be made over and over again, that we just need to, you know, just keep this act of confessing every little sin, and we're measuring ourselves every day, rather than feeling the freedom that's when we're thinking we're getting out of hell. The whole measuring thing is like going from hell to ground zero, when the faith in Christ that Paul is talking about is about living this life of relationship with him and freedom with him. So let's keep going on this passage. I don't know if anyone else is identifying. I'm going to skip that next slide and go straight to the Romans 3, 25. Okay, so this may push us a little bit. It'll also wake us up a lot. I'm going to read the passage. I'm going to let you, think about it for a minute again. And then I'd love for you to just turn to your neighbor. I'm not going to make you, go find someone you don't know and looks the least like you. Just turn to your neighbor, and I'd love for you to share kind of what's standing out to you or what questions you're asking yourself this morning. So what's standing out to you, what questions you're asking. So let me read the passage. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. All right, so I've given you a minute to gather your thoughts. If you just turn to a neighbor and share what's standing out to you this morning in the passage, or what questions are you finding yourself asking? Well, thank you for engaging your neighbors. Again, one of the things I love about Way of Life is the community of people that it is. And even if you're a guest here, I hope you're going to feel loved and welcome this morning and entered into kind of this journey of faith together. As we look at how the passage is continuing, Paul is trying to highlight, how in the world does this happen? How do we move from sin and the fact that God is just to being free and justified by our faith in Christ? And there is a lot of the meat right here in these verses. In 26, it's saying, he is just, and he has, in his forbearance, in his patience, in his mercy, God knows that the world is broken and that people are missing the mark all the time. But he delayed his judgment. And he has made Christ the public demonstration of his justification, of his, Christ has taken our sin and it was public, and it was real, and we can trust that it was enough. Part of what we're doing when we're loading shame on ourselves for our sin and not believing ourselves forgiven, we don't do this maybe mentally, but we are saying, Jesus, your sacrifice was not enough. Your atonement was not enough. You coming and putting flesh on and being completely obedient and dying on the cross, it wasn't enough for my sin. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud, but don't we say it in our hearts and in our minds when we feel shameful about our past, when we refuse to forgive ourselves? What are we saying when we refuse to forgive others? That Christ's forgiveness is not enough for them. That was just too much. So I want to tell you another story. We're on like a little kind of like history journey this morning, because I want for myself, and I want for each of you as individuals and for Way of Life, I think when people really believe that they're only justified by the grace of God, that what really matters is relationship and faith in Jesus, ridiculously amazing things happen. And groups only become rigid and religious and stale when they're measuring themselves constantly by the law. Completely unintentionally. But that's what they're doing. And so in our little history journey, I mentioned Martin Luther earlier, and some of you may have heard of him. But in his life, basically, he grew up, and there was a religious background there. But what happened was he got the crap, like, scared out of him in this storm. And he said, God, if you'll save me, I will become a monk. Again, I mean, he's not thinking God is gracious and good. He's thinking, you know, God measures everything, and he's a god of the law. And so he becomes a monk. And by all accounts, he's just, you know, living an ordinary monk life, scribing things down and doing his religious duty. But then he starts on this study of Romans. And he is just taken by Romans chapter 3. And it's like scales are falling from his eyes, that the way he is living his life every day and the way that the Catholic Church is operating does not match at all what Paul is saying here. That we are justified apart from the law, and we just need to put our faith in the atonement of Jesus, and that we are free and forgiven. And if we look at what happens next for Luther, he begins preaching against works righteousness. He begins preaching against indulgences. And essentially, he just unleashes good news on the whole continent of Europe. He starts just, again, in his way, in print, and in what we would call like little comic strips, he starts putting out comic strips about the gospel. He's like, he pairs up with Gutenberg, and they're like doing the first gospel tracts. And they're letting people know about salvation by faith in Jesus. So, my question for us is, again, where in our life are we living a religion-based Christianity? Or are we really living out of a salvation that we believe it's only our faith in Jesus, only our faith, and we don't have to constantly be asking if we're good enough, because he's the only one that's good enough, and he says that we're completely forgiven. Therefore, all of us, as Paul said in the last few verses, we are all on the same level. We are all forgiven. None of us in this room is better than the other. All right, let's finish to the end of chapter 3. And on this reading, I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to gather your thoughts. And then I want to hear what is standing out from anybody in the room who wants to just share that. And it can be about these verses, or it could be about this whole section this morning. So where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold it. All right, so anybody who wants to share, what's just something that's standing out to you, or a question that you're asking? And I'm not saying I'm going to answer all these questions. Again, this is the most foundational passage in the Pauline writings about our salvation. So I'm just wanting to, you know, set a good framework here. So what's standing out to us this morning, or what questions are we asking? Yeah.
Is that assuming that the rich man has faith that needs to do more than just have faith? I mean, besides just having faith that our sins are forgiven, aren't we also required to live that out?
In addition to having faith, aren't we required to live it out? There is the Paul is begging that question, right? And he's throwing it back and forth. So if the law is nullified by faith, then what about the law? And what about our actions? So we're right in that discussion, right? Okay. There you go. So I'll use, like, I'll stand in this section and then over here. So there's this life of, I have to do the works to be saved. And then Paul is trying to talk about, no, when you have faith, and then you'll just do the works. Yeah. Okay, faith and trust in the Lord. Other folks, yeah.
No, I always question, because when Jesus walked, he obeyed the law. He kept the Passover. He did all that. So, and today I struggle.
There you go. And I hope that if I'm doing my job, because when Paul is saying this, I think people are feeling very uncomfortable. And so I hope that in some way I've shared it in a way that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. Like, is Jesus' grace, like, really this radical? Is it this ridiculous that, like, it's not about the law? So if we go to the next slide, I just have a thought and a story to share. So a good question that I'm asking is, well, if I'm not supposed to live by the law, if it's not about measuring myself and others all the time, how do I live by faith? Like, sitting here today with you and singing great songs with the worship team, I mean, I feel filled with faith that God is good and that Jesus is alive and that he is, what he says is true. How do I live my life by faith? I think that is the question that is posed to us. And so there's some really smart people that have been looking at the life of Paul, and there is this rhythm of receiving, resting, and responding in your faith. And so we receive from God his atonement, his righteousness. We are, it's kind of like the way you teach your kids. Right now I have a 5-month-old little daughter. And you know what? What she does is eat, poop, and sleep. But I tell her all the time that she is loved, that she is beautiful, that she is so valued. I mean, she doesn't do anything to deserve that. I mean, she just sits there and eats and sleeps and poops. And yet, as parents, we're just overflowing with love, right? And any of you who've been a parent, you feel that for that infant. You're just overflowing with love. I don't think we believe that for ourselves about God. That when he sees you, it doesn't matter what you do. He sees your face, and he knows what you are created for, and he loves you. He loves you because you are. And that is in the receiving part. You are just so loved. And so, everybody breathe with me. So breathe in. Then breathe out. So try to just breathe in. Breathe in again. Breathe in again. No, you have to breathe out, right? So there's this argument that, oh, if we just receive from God his love and his goodness, and we just receive everything by faith, that we'll just abuse it all over the place. That's a lie from the enemy. When you breathe in the love of God, the air into your lungs, it has to move out. People who are loved are the ones who show love. And there is this beautiful thing when you breathe air, you're breathing in all the good things, the oxygen, and then there's a lot going on in your body, which is what we'll call kind of rest. So things move from your head. You receive these things in your head and your mind, and then you begin to really believe them in your heart. It's like the processing place, the resting place, and then you act them out in your body. And so many times we don't believe the natural process works with our faith. That if we will receive God's love and his salvation, that actually living by faith is just continuing to go back and receive the truth from God, try to rest in it in your heart, and then respond to what he is saying and doing in you. We don't believe that, so we go back to the law. And we just try to measure ourselves and call ourselves good enough. So let me end with one more story, just because it's a ridiculously good story. So there was another man. His name, I like holding back the name for some reason. I don't know why. There's so many Johns. So his name was John. He also started out kind of in Sunday school, and he ended up going into the Navy, and he developed just a huge battle with alcoholism, and he would take this battle to the grave with him. And after he kind of washed out from the Navy, he took up with some slave traders, and so he was just doing like tons of the work of taking slaves from Africa over to the Americas. And he knew in his heart that what he was doing was not what God wanted for him. And so to release that pain, he would just drink all the time. And the story's told that one time he was just so drunk that he fell overboard. And the only way that the crew could save him was they harpooned him and drug him back on to the boat. And so there's a picture depicting that after he had been harpooned and put back on the boat. And it was in that moment, after being kind of at the lowest of lows, like realizing I am trading slaves and I have just had myself like harpooned, that John heard the voice of God saying, I still love you. I want you. And John surrendered his life back to God and began living a different kind of life. And he knew more than anyone, if he brought out the measuring stick, he had hurt so many people. He had traded so many slaves that he would never measure up. And so all he had to fall back on was the grace of God. And it was with the grace of God that John Newton gave his life over to God. In the kind of the twilight of his life, he took a little church and he penned the words of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. How many people have been impacted by that song? John himself impacted the abolition movement in Europe. And again, he didn't do that because he became good. And what I want you to hear today as a church is, stop measuring yourself. That is wasted time. And start just lavishing yourself in the love and grace of God for you. That it is only by faith that you are saved. It's only because of God's great love that you are loved. But you are radically loved. And when we feel radically loved, we can see God do amazing things in our life, in our family, and in our church. And so with that, let me pray for us. God, I have these high hopes that people are going to enter into freedom today. Freedom from measuring themselves in a game that they cannot win. I pray that we would be freed up from judging and measuring other Christians, other churches. Every time we do that, I pray that we would be reminded that it is only by faith that we are saved. And that we are fully saved. We are fully rescued, that Jesus' sacrifice was enough for every person. I pray that we would feel a lightness in our spirit this morning, that your spirit says to our spirit, son or daughter, I love you. You are beloved because I've created you, because I've forgiven you. I pray that our faith would be lived out as we continue to receive from you, rest in you, and then respond out of your love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have to tell Chris that I finished on time, and I pray that you're be encouraged this morning. We'll be continuing this theme of salvation by faith. If you look ahead to Romans 4, you'll see it's about the life of Abraham. So we'll be talking about the life of Abraham next week. Pray that we would go and we would continue to fellowship in the name of Jesus. Amen.